Praise of Jacob.
Okay. We're going to start out with a treat that I mentioned to Sarah. That some of you may remember that in the middle of the shiur last week, I noticed something that I didn't notice when I was preparing the shiur, and it's where I pointed out to you to look at b'midat ha-simcha tluya mitzvat aseh shiyatzdik kol ma'orotav. That we're learning about the midah of simcha, and it says part of simcha is connected with justifying how Hashem runs the world, justifying everything that He does. How is this a mitzvah taseh? Shene emar, as it says, in Dvarim Perek Chet Pasuk Hei, V'yadata im livavecha, ki kasher yaser ish et bino, Hashem elokecha miyasreka. That even when things are bad, just like a child doesn't always understand their parents, when the parent says no, so too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes deals strictly with us. Now, it's a very interesting opinion, without getting into it, whether that's the pshat of the pasuk or not. I had never heard of this mitzvah before. And as far as I knew, the Rambam, the Sefer HaChinuch, the classic mitzvah counters don't count it. And if you remember, this was at the shiur at the Seymour House, I asked Tzvia to send me a WhatsApp in the middle of the shiur to remind me to check up this mitzvah. And in fact, this is the key to one of maybe the biggest riddle regarding our Sefer, Orchot Tzadikim. Everyone has always been trying to figure out who wrote Orchot Tzadikim. There's even a theory that said it was written by a woman, and she wrote it anonymously.
It's not written by women. I can tell my
answer. I looked it up, and nobody before the Smug, say from Mitzvot Gedolot, it was written by one of the Balei Tosfot, Rav Moshe Mikotzi, lived in the 13th century. Nobody before him ever mentions this mitzvah. And also after him, just about nobody mentions it. The Sefer, the mitzvah of justifying when Hashem deals with us strictly. And learning it from this pasuk. Now the Bahag does say there is a mitzvah to justify Hashem, but he doesn't learn it from this pasuk. This pasuk bichlal, it's, like I said, it's not exactly dealing with this topic. And that's why it sounds sort of weird. And after the Smag, the only one who brings it down from this pasuk is the Smag. Say from Mitzvot Tanot, who you can guess from its name, he basically is based on the Smag. So the Smag copied it from the Smag, and nobody before, and only 300 years afterwards, the Sefer Charidim brings it down. But basically, nobody before and nobody after the Smag brings down this mitzvah. Except all of a sudden, the Orchot Tzadikim is bringing it down. So my educated guess is that maybe he is a student of the Smag. And then I did a search today on computer. It's very easy to see if he mentions the Smag anywhere in the book. And in Shar HaTorah, in my edition, it's page Reish Samech Dalet, but you don't have to look inside. He just talks about the Torah Sheba'al Peh. And the oral law, and he talks about the Balei Tosfot were very great, and he mentions Rabbeinu Moshe Mikotzi, that's the Smag, and he mentions the Or Zarua, and he mentions Rashi and Rav Shimshon Mishantz, and several, five, six, members of the Balei Tosfot, but the Smag is the only one, except from Rabbeinu Tam, who everyone calls him Rabbeinu, that's his name, Rabbeinu Tam, the Smag is the only one of the Balei Tosfot who he calls Rabbeinu. That infers that the Orchot Tzadikim is a student of the Smag, and that fits in exactly with what our educated guess was. If it's just the Smag who learns out this pasuk, the mitzvah of justifying even when bad things happen to good people from this pasuk, so apparently it's a student of the Smag. Who is it? We don't know. The Smag didn't have many students, because he used to go around Europe and Spain giving drashot, and that also would make sense that the Orchot Tzadikim, if he's a student of the Smag, is also, it's a Moser book to tell people to improve. There is one student that we know of the smug. His name is Rabbi Chaim ben Yitzchak, or Yitzchak ben Chaim, and he wrote a book, and that's our educated guess of who wrote the Orchot Tzadikim. So I mentioned it to a couple of chokrim, a professor and a doctor. I asked my brother, and he said it's a good educated guess. I have to work on it a little more. But out of this class in Kochav HaShachar may have come the answer to a question, a 600-year-old question. Okay. Anyway.
What's the pasuk?
The pasuk is, again, Perek Chet Pasukei in Sefer Dvarim. It says, V'yadata im levavecha. You should know in your heart, ki kasher yaser ished beno, just like a father sometimes disciplines his son, Hashem Elokecha miyasreka. Hashem disciplines us. Now, it's not, again, it's not, you can understand this pasuk that way, you can understand it other ways, and that's why most people don't explain it that way.
I can see why it's a commandment. It's like, you should know.
Yeah, like yeah, that's the smug's opinion. Okay. That's the Rechot Tzadikim's opinion. Okay. Anyway, we are on, I'll go into share screen. Do you see the paragraph that begins, Mishma Anbim Be'elokim Belev Shalem?
We've gone forwards.
Mishma Anbim Be'elokim. That's a paragraph right before Habotech Be'elokim. Mm-hmm. Okay? Okay, that's where we were up to. Mishamami, where again we're talking about the midah, the shar of simcha, of how to be happy. And we're talking about how belief in God gives us the security, and when a person is secure, then he feels happier. Mishamami be'elohim belev shalem. When a person believes in God totally, ubotech bo bebitachon chazak, and he has a strong faith in God, trust in God. Yavio toa bitachon shelo yifchad me'olam midavar ra. If you really trust in God and you believe that He is with you wherever you go, that is, you're not going to be scared. And not being scared is part of being happy. Anybody who went to Yeshivat Kfar Haroeh, even a lot of the Hesder Yeshivot Motzei Shabbat, in Oretz Yom, we used to sing, you know, the Zemirot Motzei Shabbat after Havdalah. So there's a song, Al Tira Avdi Yaakov. So starting from the letter Kuf, it's according to the alphabet, Rav Neria. By the way, nobody knows where the tune is from. I asked three of his sons. Chaya didn't know. And I asked her three brothers. Nobody knew where this tune is from. But Rav Neria, by the way, he used to write tunes, so it may have been his that wrote it. It goes, I'll put it down on YU Torah for prosperity. Kol kol Yaakov, and everyone answers, Ken Abba Ken. Al tira avdi Yaakov, and everyone answers, Lo Abba Lo, and then the chorus, Lo nira ve lo nifchad, Lo nira ve lo nifchad, Lo nira ve lo nifchad, Rak mimcha bilvad. Lo nira velo nifchad, lo nira velo nifchad, lo nira velo nifchad, rak mimcha bilvad. Then it goes, Roni v'simchi li Yaakov, Ken, etc., etc. And really, that's exactly the idea, that lo nira velo nifchad, rak mimcha bilvad, that we do not have awe or fear of anyone, aside from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because when he's on our side, what may worry? Veloya avod la adam zulato litratzot elav, and you shouldn't serve anybody aside from wanting to find favor in the eyes of God. Very often, we're worried what other people are going to say, and that gets us sometimes to compromise what we really want to do, out of peer pressure, out of fear somebody's going to say, "Well, you're holier than thou," or something like that. Velo yikavel le'ish, and don't hope that anybody is going to help you. Velo yaskim imahem bidavar. By the way, I should mention the Radak. The Radak in the famous pasuk that we say in davening in Tehillim, I think it's Kuf Mem Vav. The Radak says, Al tivtechu bindivim. Don't trust in those, in the wealthy donors. And the Radak asks, well, does that mean you're not allowed to ask a Rothschild or a Rennert or somebody to help build a shul? Now they're asking for people to donate money to write a Sefer Torah. So the Radak explains, Umehashem yasur libo. There's no problem asking a person for help as long as you remember that if he helps you, it's going to be because Hashem gives him the money to help, puts in his desire, arranges things that you catch him at a good time. Anybody who does fundraising knows that you got to catch the person at the right time. Mm-hmm. Timing is like a lot of things in life, but especially regarding fundraising. And because everyone turns to the same people. And if out of 10 people, he can only answer one, you know, so the odds are against you. But if you daven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can help you. So the idea is, don't trust in others that they can help you without Hashem. V'lo yaskimi mahem bedavar shu keneged avodat abore yitbarach. If you remember, we mentioned once, and there's going to be a whole chapter on the Isur of Chanifut. There's a Shaar, chapter 24 is called the Shaar of Chanifut. Chanifut is to litchanfen. How do you say that in English?
Flatter.
To flatter a person. And if you remember, I mentioned that it's very difficult to understand when it's allowed. For example, you're allowed to flatter your spouse, to say that the food is very good, even if it's not so good, right? On the other hand, what is clearly prohibited is to flatter a rasha. For example, the classic example, if somebody makes fun of somebody, and all those around him, their tendency is just to laugh, right? Yeah, laugh, smile a little, right? Because that's what he wants, and that's... That is encouraging the person who just spoke Lashon Hara. So that would be an Isur of Lo Tachanifu. We're going to spend more time on this later on, because are you allowed to flatter your boss? Are you not allowed? It's complicated. Certain cases, yes. Certain cases, no. But when we learn, have a whole chapter on it, we'll talk about it. But definitely, you're not allowed to flatter someone if it's at the expense of serving Hashem. Don't be scared of disagreeing with people in the name of God. And Baruch Hashem, when you live in a yeshuv like Kochav HaShachar, so Baruch Hashem, basically everybody is in the same mindset. On the other hand, sometimes you come across people who are in a different mindset, and we have to make a conscious effort to trust in Hashem and not trust in that person. Okay, this is an interesting example of bitachon, of trust. Vim yochiach otam, lo yizeher bichvodam. And if you have to rebuke somebody, or if somebody rebukes you, that's maybe a better example. Say if somebody rebukes me, don't stand up for your honor. Vim yachlimu lo yevosh mehem. If a person embarrasses me, don't be embarrassed if he's right. Velo yafel lahem hasheker. And don't aim. How would you say it? Liyaput.
Beautify.
To beautify. Don't beautify falsehood.
Enhance.
Okay. Don't enhance or don't beautify falsehood. Again, Hashem is on your side. You have nothing to fear. Kmo she'amar anavi, as Yeshayahu says in Perek Nun, Vashem Elokim ya'azorli. I have faith and trust that Hashem will help me. By the way, I'll finish the pasuk. Al ken lo nichlamti, and that's why I wasn't embarrassed. Al ken samti panai kechalamish ve'da ki lo evosh. Sometimes you have to stick up for the mitzvot. It's very common in a mixed yeshuv, where some people are more religious and some are less religious, and you have a vote, asefat chaverim, and sometimes it's uncomfortable to stand up for the Torah. I'm not saying that you always have to force your opinion on other people, but I'm saying sometimes in life this does come up. Right? I'm sure most people have come across this, that a person may feel a little embarrassed of his religion. I mentioned once, I think, in the, I don't remember if in this year, about in ninth grade, when we learned the first volume of Mishnah Berurah is the Hilchot of Tzitzit. Yeah, I told you about that. And the Mishnah Berurah brings down that a person has to wear their tzitzit out. Mm. That's for Ashkenazim, as far as they know. But Ashkenazim, and as a 15-year-old in New York City, I said, well, I'm going to start riding the buses with my tzitzit out. And that was basically my first major decision in Judaism, that I had to take a stand. And maybe that's the reason why the Orchot Tzadikim list this as the first example. Because sometimes this is what separates between the men and the boys, as they say. And when you have to take a stand for the sake of God. Habotech Belohim, a new paragraph. Somebody who trusts in God. Yevienu abitachon lefanot libo minyanei ha'olam liyached atzmo linyanei ha'torah ve'avodah. If a person believes that his livelihood comes from Hashem, and we work hard to make money, we need to make a livelihood, men are obligated to support their wives, their family, and the question is how to balance that with learning Torah, or with doing other mitzvot. How much should I work? And how much not? This is the classic question of hishtadlut and bitachon. How to weigh between how much faith do I have in Hashem and how much hishtadlut effort I have to put in. Now this major question, we'll see the Orchot Tzadikim talks about it a little later, has puzzled every single religion. Every religion in the world has to deal. If you believe in God, how much do you believe in God? Well, does that mean you just buy a lottery ticket one time a year? Does that mean, should you take chisunim, vaccinations, right? If there's a problem with corona, and they come out with a vaccination, can you say, and that's what a lot of Muslims say, fatalistic people, and some Breslov or Hasidim, they took this to an extreme and say, no, if God wants me to be sick, I'll be sick. And if he wants me to be healthy, I'll be healthy, right? And the question how to balance this, we'll talk about later.
There's some women who don't do any prenatal care, they have some not to do
that.
Don't go to any doctor, any test, any scans,
surprise!
Nothing.
Twins!
They didn't know there's twins?
Surprise!
What, you've had cases like that?
Yes.
Really?
Surprise twins, imbecile.
Not surprise twins, surprise a lot more worse than
that. Right, that's what I'm saying, and surprise genetic diseases occurring.
So, you know, once you bring up that example, and in general, there are different extremes.
I'm sorry, we didn't hear it at all.
Oh, I'm sorry. There are nurses here who also deal in childbirth, and they said that there are some women who, for religious reasons, don't want to do prenatal testing to see if the child has Downs or genetic problems. And sometimes they're surprised when they give birth, and it's twins. And, or, chas v'shalom, a surprise that the child was born not abnormal. And it is true, like in a lot of questions, that Judaism believes in the general, in the middle path. And even within Judaism, you have the Rambam, on the one hand, who says, or we'll say in the name of Rav Simcha Boni Mapshischa. Is it? No. It's the Rebbe of Sassover. He says that a person has to make his decisions as if there was no God. Don't bring God into your decisions because you don't know what he wants and what he doesn't want. Your hishtadlut is you have to go and do everything that you can. On the other extreme, you have, they say it in the name of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. I don't know if that's true. I know Rav Arush stresses this idea of, you know, not going too much to doctors and maybe not, I don't know what he says about vaccines. But that is definitely not mainstream Judaism. That definitely is not mainstream Judaism. Mainstream Judaism is you definitely should do the tests. when you're pregnant, definitely take vaccines. That every rabbi will tell you that. Except, again, maybe for Breslov. But even they believe we are not fatalistic. There are some religions, like Islam, the word Islam means lahashlim. It's to accept, inshallah, whatever Allah wants, that's what's going to be. That fatalistic, I remember an Arab in Hebron once told me, I asked him, you know, why don't they just buy tractors? I don't know what they do today, but at the time they were still plowing with shvarim, with bulls, and oxes. I said, yeah.
Oxen.
And he says, you don't understand. If Allah wants us to be, if wants me to be wealthy, I'll be wealthy. And if Allah wants me to be poor, I will be poor.
If Allah wants you to be stupid.
And Menucha added, and if Allah wants you to be stupid, you will be stupid. That's you can say the same thing about learning and studying and checking things out. Judaism general is believes in the balance of free will on the one hand, and that Hashem, Hashkacha Pratit, on the other, and they don't contradict. But that's a big topic in unto itself. So again, Habotech Beelohim, here we go. Yevienu Abitachon Lifnot Libo Minyanei Olam Liyached Atzmo Linyanei Torah V'Avodah. A person who believes in God, obviously he has to work for a living, but he doesn't say, well, I can't learn Torah because I have to keep working and keep working in an exaggerated way. V'tzarich adam lachkora deyot ha-machzikot et libo niyot bebitachon shalem be'elohim. And a person has to examine in his heart and do things, do exercises, think, analyze this issue of how to acquire bitachon, faith in Hashem. Machshava rishona, the first thought. And now we're going to see a bunch of thoughts. How many? Seven. The first thought, Sheyeda b'yediya brura, you should know, think with a clear knowledge, a clarity, ke Elohim merachem ala adam yoter mikol merachem. The first of the 13 midot, character traits of God, is Hashem, Hashem kel rachum. He's merciful. Now, when Hashem is merciful, he is merciful more than anybody. He invented mercy. So, obviously, he is going to be the most merciful that anyone is. So, if you need a favor from somebody, from your boss, say you want a raise or something like that, in addition to speaking to your boss, even beforehand, speak to God. Because Hashem has even more mercy than your boss. V'hu mashgiach halav b'seter u'begalui. And our loving Father, He watches over us when we're alone and when we're in public, all times. Even if a person sometimes hasn't watched himself properly, Hashem is watching him. Kinyan shene'emar shomer p'taim Hashem. Pasuk in Tehillim 1:16, that Hashem watches over, you mentioned the stupid people, the foolish people. Hashem watches over the foolish people. Now, you really got to be careful how to use this. There's a famous tshuva in Reb Moshe Feinstein. Somebody asked Reb Moshe Feinstein, are you not allowed to smoke cigarettes? Now, the question was asked, I believe, in the 1950s. And Reb Moshe Feinstein says, and by the way, anybody who knows the yeshiva world knows that in those days, a lot of guys used to be smoking, right? That was in the, you remember, in the 70s, 60s? Yeah. Right? I came to yeshiva in the 80s, and there were still some guys, but I know that beforehand, they told me that in all the yeshivas, that was like a thing to do. And somebody asked Reb Moshe Feinstein, but doctors are beginning to say that it's unhealthy. So Reb Moshe's answer was this pasuk, Shomer p'taim Hashem. Hashem watches over the foolish people. There was a tshuva about 15, 20 years later, from the early 80s or late 70s. At this time, you remember that the warnings of the cigarettes. It was like a gradual thing. Today, it's like you can't miss it, right? It used to be that the Surgeon General has warned that smoking may be detrimental to your health. That was when we were kids.
It was a little pass.
Right. And then it became more, and as research. What?
Now it says cigarettes kill.
Cigarettes kill.
Something like that,
yes. Wow. In other words, it's very strongly worded.
Right.
All right. So somewhere in the 70s, late 70s, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, well, now that we know, who is we? Rabbi Dr. Moshe Tendler. Mm-hmm. Rav Moshe's son-in-law, Rav Tendler, he was a biologist. He was a professor of biology in Yeshiva University. My father, Zichrono Livracha, was his lab assistant. Mm-hmm. And whenever Rav Moshe had a question about medicine, and science in general, he would ask Rav Tendler. And Rav Tendler apparently told him that it's not may. Today we know for a fact that cigarette smoking is not allowed. And Rav Moshe said that you're not allowed to smoke next to somebody else. Because today we know that even passive smokers suffer.
Right.
So, Bikitsur, I just bring that as a good example why you have to be careful when you use this pasuk, Shomer Ptayim Hashem, because maybe at one point somebody is foolish and Hashem looks over like little children. They do stupid things. The job of the parent is to watch over them.
Mm-hmm.
But, like you said, you know, if somebody is, you know, closing their ears and refuses to hear, then you can't say Hashem is going to watch over him, because he doesn't even watch over himself. Right? God helps those who helps themselves. Again, that's the balance between bitachon and hishtadlut of free will, and trusting in God. By the way, even a parent, once we use the example of the parent, I think a lot of times parents, depends how dangerous it really is, obviously, but a lot of times parents will say, you know, listen, I warned you, I tried to explain to you, but if that's your decision, you know, you can go through with it and you'll suffer the consequences. And sometimes that is the way that children will learn. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, sometimes, yeah, He loves us and He has mercy over us, but sometimes, again, just like we saw, and the smog brings it down as a mitzvah, just like a parent sometimes disciplines a child, so too Hashem lifamim sometimes disciplines us. Hamachshava hashnia. Where are we here? I'm on the share screen. I'm trying to find it. Here we go. Hamachshava hashnia. Asher kol hatovot hamagiot elav me'aviv u'me'imo ve'echav u'krovav u'reyav hakol me'et Hashem yitbarachu. A lot of times people talk about vitamin P, protectia. And your father's and your mother's and your sister's and your brother's connections, that is what's going to bring you help. Ve'elu hem shluchei ha-makom, baruch hu. And again, like we said before, you remember, yeah, they may have a family responsibility, and they may very well help you, but it's really coming from Hashem. Always remember. And we all know this, you know, sometimes my father was the principal of the school. And he couldn't always help me. Right? Sometimes the answer is no. Hashlishit, the third type. She, oh, it's going backwards here. Let me, I'll just try and if I can solve this very quickly. Hold on. Where did it go? I have to look for the yellow. Hold on. Here we go. Okay. And we are up to Hashlishit, right? Here we go. Hashlishit. The third type of bitachon, that again, sometimes we think that we can trust in others, but really know that it's from Hashem. Shiyeda. Shekol ha-tovot he-michazdei Elohim. All of the good things in life come from Hashem. Lo shu ra'ui lekach. Not that I deserve it. Ve'en ha-kadosh baruch hu meitiv lo mipnei shu tzarich lo. It's not that Hashem needs to give me anything. Hashem is perfect. He doesn't need anything. ach nedava v'chesed. In other words, not only is Hashem the address that we need to turn to Him for help, but don't turn to others, as we saw, and He doesn't need it, and it is out of chesed. By the way, this is good for humility, right? If people a lot of times think that's a big thing today, magieli. How do they say that in English?
It doesn't really have I deserve it.
I deserve it, yeah.
Yeah. I have it coming to me. I don't know. Okay. And that's
fine.
That's a problem today, that entitlement. People think that they're entitled to certain things. Kids, that's a big thing by kids, you know. I deserve this. Okay, got to stay away from that. It comes from Hashem, and a little humility, and that it's from Hashem's chesed. Haravi'it, the fourth point. She'yeda asher l'chol inyanav yesh gvul v'ketz. That a person here, the Orchot Tzadikim, is getting a little into what we call predeterminism. A person's health, a person's money, we say that it is decided from Rosh Hashanah until Rosh Hashanah, right? Ve'en shum adam yachol losif ligro al mashe gazar abore hitale. And if you work 12 hours a day, you're going to get the same amount as Hashem decided. The Chafetz Chaim gives an example of a mecham, a barrel, that if you have one spigot or 10 spigots, you're going to get the same amount. And he mentions this in the context of when the Jews started going to America. There was this big thing that you had to work on Shabbos, and if you didn't work on Shabbos, you couldn't get a job. And the Chafetz Chaim said, listen, you know, obviously if the boss or something, it's a problem. But if you're the boss, and there were Jews who were independent and they wanted to work on Shabbat, Chafetz Chaim said, it doesn't make a difference if you're working 6 days or 7 days or 5 days. The spigot, adding another spigot, isn't going to give you more money. Umashe gazar HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheyelo me'at, en adam yechol arbot, o lema'et haribui. The same thing with if for whatever reason a person has decided that he is going to live a certain amount of years. You can always appeal, and that's what Yom Kippur is about, and that's what Tefillah is about. The same thing with money, right? You can always appeal, but appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Uma shegazar le'acher en shum adam yechol lagdim. And this is an even more important point. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided that the other guy is going to get a certain business deal, then you're not going to get it. Right? Because that's part of the problem. We don't have the whole picture. I remember the first time I ever really davened well. I remember exactly. It was, excuse me for using the Christian dates, it was in the end of December 1970, Tafshin Lamed. And I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which is Green Bay Packer territory. As Green Bay, Wisconsin has nothing going for it, except there's a paper packing company, which I don't know how successful it is, but that's why they're called the Green Bay Packers. But their football team was very, very famous. And if you ever heard of Vince Lombardi, he was like the most successful. He was the coach of the Green Bay Packers. Anyway, after Vince Lombardi retired, the next 2 years, they really went down. And we moved to New York, where there are two football teams. And everyone either likes the New York Giants or the New York Jets. Nobody likes the Green Bay Packers. You know, and little boys, they feel that they have to stick up for their team, and they have to. My brother told me that there was a study that shows, like, how far a person will go to try and justify that his team is good, even when they're terrible. And it's a good sign of ne'emanut,
loyalty.
And I guess that's where it comes from. You know, we're supposed to be loyal people. Anyway, so the Green Bay Packers were playing the Washington Redskins. And I was really happy because, again, 2 years they didn't make the playoffs. And then finally they made the playoffs. I said, okay, this is our big chance, and I'm going to show my friends that Green Bay is really good. And they were down, it was like 21-0.
In which quarter?
And by halftime. By the way, it's not as bad as it sounds. It's not like in soccer, 21-0, because it goes by 7. So, but it was 3-0, 21-0. And I remember going to my room, and I opened up my siddur, and I davened mincha like I had never davened before in my life.
Did it help?
I was in fifth grade, I remember exactly. And I remember mamash talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I remember crying. What's that?
It's very cute, a little boy crying.
Right, that's, I'm just telling you the truth. But I was davening with all my heart. I even remember saying to myself as I was crying, I said, "Wow, I'm really davening. This is what Rabbi Newmark told me that we're supposed to do." And I was really happy with myself. And I didn't, you know, halftime is like 10 minutes. And I really stretched it out. I was davening maybe 15 minutes. And I went back to the den and turned on the TV. And they were down 28-0. I think they lost 35-0.
Oh, wow.
And I had a crisis in faith. And I was 10 years old. And the truth may be said, the following day, I didn't go to school. I told my mother and my father that I don't feel well. I really did not feel well. And then, the following day, my father was the principal of the school. The following day, that's Yom Shlishi, Tuesday, you know, my father said, "Listen, you can't not go back to school." He knew it was because of the Green Bay Packers. But anyway, so I went to school, and I was really depressed. And it was smart not going the next day, because the next day everybody would have come down on me. But by Tuesday, guys forgot about it, but I was still depressed. And Rabbi Newmark noticed that I wasn't playing during recess. He came over to me and says, "Ari, what's the matter?" So I was, and then I said, "Yeah, I have to tell somebody." You know, I said, "You know, I davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Green Bay Packers to beat the Washington Redskins." And I remember, I told Rabbi Newmark, I said, "God, you split the Red Sea. 21-0. Ze katan alecha." And God let me down. And I davened well. And I cried. And I davened for 15 minutes. And I missed the first 5 minutes of the third quarter. And Hashem really let me down. And Rabbi Newmark said, put his arm around me and said, "Ari, how do you know? Maybe there's a boy in Washington who is sick, or his parents are sick, and he needs help a lot more. Maybe he was davening for the Washington Redskins." And I said, "Wow, I really did not think of that possibility." And no, he was smart. You know, most teachers would just say, "Well, you're dumb for stupid things." You know, you know, who cares? But you know, he understood where I was at, and bikitzur.
He tried to philosophize by saying that you know, you can't just. Because you
daven,
you've got
to,
a couple of
trolls,
then got to help you.
Right, because kids don't, you know, that's the real answer. The real answer is tefillah, like most things in the world, is not like a Coke machine,
right,
where you put in the money, you press. And by the way, in Coke machines, it doesn't always work either. Right? Coffee machines, right? And
coffee come out without a cup.
That happened to me once. And I stuck out my hand to catch the coffee just out of instinct. And I got burned. I'm a cheap Jew. And I look, you know, there's usually a waste basket near the coffee machine, and there are cups there. And I was saying, "Oh, maybe I'll take the cup. Maybe this guy has AIDS." I took the second cup, and by the time I put it there, the coffee was finished. There was a little milk, you know, a little milk comes in at the end. The kitzur. So even coffee machines don't always work. And for sure, tefillah, it's not, you know, you put in the money and you press it and you get it back. But again, children, on the one hand, we want to teach children that tefillah is serious and is beneficial. But it's not always beneficial that you get the answer that you want, not right away. But anyway, Rabbi Newmark, I don't know where he is today, but you know, I once... I don't know. and I don't care.
No.
You know what? If somebody were to ask me which football team I would like, I would still say the Green Bay Packers. But,
I never knew that confidence.
So.
6+1.
Yeah, it's a little more complicated than that. Anyway, I once, now I remembered, I told this story once in a classroom, and somebody came up to me afterwards and said, "Is that Rabbi Avery Newmark?" I said, "Yeah." So that's my grandfather.
Oh.
And yeah. So you should always say somebody in the name of the person who said it. Okay. How do we get to talking about that? Ah, that we don't get things immediately. That's what reminded me. That if Hashem decides to help somebody else, you're not going to get. If he decided to help this kid in Washington, you're not. Your team isn't going to win. And also, like we said before about timing, Kishapri Maspik Bashel Piryo Yoter Matok. When a fruit is ripe enough, that is when it is sweet. And things come always at the right time. And I gave a shiur on that when Moti Cohen passed away. So the family asked me to speak about why people die at a young age. And so it's a very important yesod. Timing. Achakol hu b'gzerat elyonu b'rtzono. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is the one who decides not just what, but also when. And I thought we'd cover more, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided. Gamzu l'tova. It was a good story. Get it off my chest after all these years. Does anybody know? Have Rabbi Newmark as his grandfather?
Yeah, he is.